Exodus chapter 20, when it said, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, thy son, thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, the cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. Who's missing? The wife. The wife's missing. Thou shalt not do any work, thou, thy son, thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, the cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. So mamas had to work on the Sabbath still. What I'd like to do is the following. Number one, to recite the book of 1 John from memory, which takes about 10 to 15 minutes. Number one. Number two is I want to drill down on one verse and use that as the springboard, as the launching pad to get into the subject of... Hi, baby. Hi. To get into the subject of... Can I say this word? Bible memorization. Ooh. Next, why should we memorize God's word? I mean, keeping aside the clear commands in Scripture that tell us to do so, why should I do it? Why should I hide God's word in my heart in plain English? And then finally, how do you do it? I had the opportunity, the privilege of living in Israel and Jerusalem, as some of you know, for 1,000 days, and I was able to rub shoulders with the people who still have a really, really, really high view of the orality of Scripture, of memorizing God's word. And I can share to you those three pillars for you and your kids and your grandkids to do so. Sound good? Two or three are nodding. We'll take it. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness, even until now. But he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not where he goeth, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. And I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I have written unto you, little children, because you've known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. And I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it is not of the Father. It is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. but they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he's born of God. In this the children of God are manifested in the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother is righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion on him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our heart before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, so that they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist. Whereof you have heard that it should come? And even now already it is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. And hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us. And that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And hereby we know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath towards us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his children as well. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. There are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. And he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given unto us, eternal life. And the life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give them life for them that sin not unto death. There's a sin unto death. I do not say that he should pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, but there's a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth them not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. We are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Come on, people. I didn't drive 20 minutes to not get an amen. I normally say 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 hours, but thankfully, Pastor Tyler had me come, so I only had to drive for 20 minutes today. And I got to sleep in my own bed last night. Thank you, Lord. There's a lot we could talk about. Like, What does it mean when it says back in chapter 3 there, it says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin, anyone commit sin today so far? I did. I went 58 and a 55. I broke the law. I broke the law of the land. That's a sin, to break the law of the land. He that commits sin is of the devil. What does that mean? Or he says the same thing in a different way in chapter 5, when he says, whosoever is born of God, anyone born of God here? Amen. One, good. You're in the right place. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. What's that mean? Well, thanks for asking. We could talk about that. What it means is you're not King James only. That's what it means. It means you do a word study and you get into what's going on there and you find out that in the original languages, in the Greek, the tense of that verb is habitual. So a better rendering would be, whosoever is born of God doth not habitually or continually commit sin. Now you can sleep tonight, okay? We could talk about that. We could talk about, what does it mean in chapter 5 when it says, you know, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is knocked unto death, he shall give them life, for them that sin not unto death. There's a sin unto death, so you're telling me there's degrees of sin? There's sins unto death, and there's sins not unto death. I was taught that if you murdered someone or stole a candy bar, it was all the same. It's not true, because we just heard it right there. We could talk about that. But we're not going to talk about those things. No, no, no. We're going to drill down on Bible memorization. What time should I be done, Pastor? When are you normally done? Right. What time should I shoot for?
11:45.
Perfect. Ooh, we got to get going then. As you may have heard from the beginning of 1 John, there wasn't an address attached to it, was there? Like Paul, Silas, and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have that. So we're reliant upon tradition and church history to pinpoint this letter, which tells us that John wrote this book from Ephesus. From Ephesus, little background. When you think of Ephesus or when you read the book of Ephesians, Ephesus, you want to think of a San Francisco. For the last decade, we live in California, close enough to smell San Francisco, but not in it, but close enough to it. And just like San Francisco is a religious and political and administrative and economic and military and cultural hub of that part of California, so Ephesus was the same way. Now, on the one hand, you're living in the first century where faith comes by hearing, not reading, and hearing by the word of God. So if you want to share the gospel with someone, you cannot send them a gospel tract off with them. You have to speak it to them. They have to hear it. So you need the church needed to be in the first century in a very strategic location like we are right here. You can't be in Twig, Minnesota, population 58, if you want your message to get out to the world. You have to be where the people are at. And Ephesus provided that. All roads led to Rome, and most of those roads going to and fro either went through or touched Ephesus. A fantastic place, logistically, a fantastic place to have as one of the flags in the ground for the early church. But with the good, of course, come the bad. The bad is that it's like a San Francisco. One of the many reasons we moved from California is because it's California. And all the things that go along with it. And plus, where we lived in Redding, California, it's the epicenter of this just awful, awful, maybe we could even call it a cult. I think we should call it a cult. Just, and it's right there in our backyard. Ephesus was kind of the same. Ephesus was the headquarters of the Temple of Artemis, or the Romans called her Diana. And we'll keep it G-rated, but it was a nasty, nasty cult. And the church is right in the shadows of this monstrosity. So John, as the shepherd, the leader, et cetera, of the church, one of his main concerns for the people in the pew is that they do one thing, and that is overcome. It's like his favorite word. He uses it all throughout the Gospels, all throughout the epistles, all throughout the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. Overcome. He loves that word. So how do your kids, how do your grandkids, what's the best fighting chance you have to overcome the world? Well, thanks for asking. Chapter 2, verse number 14, he tells us, I have written unto you, young men, pause real quick, we'll say by application, the people in the pew, in this port city, San Francisco kind of city, this Ephesus city, I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong. what in the world has given these believers the other 167 hours of the week when they're outside the four walls of the church in the real world, what is giving them and their kids and their grandkids the ability to be strong? Because that's what we all want, right? Of course. I have written on you, young men, because you are strong. Here you go. The word of God, the scriptures, abide in you. And you've overcome the wicked one. So in other words, the word of God hidden in the heart of the believers, when they're out and about in the real world and to be able to draw upon that and think upon it and act upon that, is what gives them the ability to overcome this crazy fallen world that you live in. Scripture memory is fundamental. It is key. But nobody does it. We have it coming from without and within. Without, we live in a copy-paste, Facebook tweet, file forget kind of world where we don't have to remember anything and we love it. When we were having one of our babies, I can't remember which one, I went to speak by myself somewhere. Normally we always go together. Always go together. Because I've heard of too many people that are lone rangers and they're always gone and they're never at home, and then when the kids turn older, the whole family falls apart because the dad's never there. He's trying to save the world, but he can't save his own family. Anyways, we just got new phones, so you can see where this is going. So I'm by myself. I'm here to tell you the book of Revelation from memory. I have to call my wife, but I don't know her phone number. Because that's the world we live in. Boom, boom, boom. When I was a kid, I know, you know, it was a while ago, but when I was a kid, you still memorize phone numbers. So we have it coming from without. Copy, paste, Facebook, tweet, file, forget, nothing. And then we have it coming from within. It is not a knock. Is it something I said, Danny? No? Okay. And it's not a knock in any way, shape, or form on their character because they're my best friends. But pastors, they're my best friends. They don't, most pastors I know aren't seriously, actively memorizing Psalm 19 or whatever. They're not hiding God's word in their heart. They just don't do it. They say they should do it. They give lip service to it, but nobody does it. So you have the pastors, and then the professors don't do it. I'm a professor. My best friends are professors. They love the Lord with all their hearts, but they don't do it. And then the parents don't do it. And you have this vicious cycle where nobody memorizes scripture except the little ones. Okay? My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Amen. All right, guys, I need you guys to love one another right here, okay? Thank you. All right. Why should you hide God's word in your heart? In no particular order of importance, keeping aside the clear commands from Scripture, which tell you to do it, which should be sufficient in and of itself. Number one, we memorize Scripture. So as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Garbage in, garbage out. Goodness in, goodness out. Now, to think of yourself as, I'm created a little lower than the angels. He has given us dominion over the works of his hands. He hath put all things under our feet. We have boldness and access and confidence to approach the living God in prayer. He's made us a kingdom of priests. I mean, you can go on forever. Unless you think like that, it's hard to act like that. So to have those key verses who inform you who you are and who your kids are and who your grandkids are in the light of God's word, treasured in your heart, and to be able to call it up, think upon it, chew upon it, and put into action is critical. Absolutely fundamental to who you are as a person. Number two, the word of God hidden in our heart. It provides us with words of comfort in times of need, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. The best, the most beautiful, the precious thing you can say to someone, as you know, is a verse from Scripture taken in the right context. It's like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. The most beautiful, valuable, precious thing when someone is hurting, when someone is in a moment of need, and you can't flip through the Bible or find it, is to speak right there on your lips and share with them that particular verse and let that verse do the work. And also for ourselves, it provides us with words of comfort in times of need. Sometimes we forget to pray for ourselves. Sometimes we forget to be concerned with ourselves and to build yourself up in the light of God's word. To speak, there are over 1,000 promises in Scripture. 1,000! And God cannot lie. Now, I know some of those are not applicable to us because we're not ancient Israelites and we can wear garments that have, you know, more than one textile in it. But still, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of promises that God, that the Lord Jesus has made to us. Do you know them? Why don't you speak to him in his own words? You promise this. Not that he has to do it, but you know what I mean. To communicate to him. in his own language, to pray to him in his own words. It's good stuff. Amen. Another benefit, another plus that comes from having it hidden in our heart versus on our phone or on our shelf is it's your weapon of choice. It's your kids and your grandkids also, their weapon of choice. Think of the Lord Jesus tempted in the wilderness, under distress, under attack. What does he do? He doesn't flip out his phone where there was no Wi-Fi service. I believe that he was on Mount Sinai at that time and not outside Jericho where they put it. He doesn't run to some synagogue 75, 100 miles away or whatever and pull some cumbersome scroll off the shelf and try and find that one verse with a yod or a pointer. He just speaks from heart what he memorized as a child. The word of God, as you know, is what's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But we don't act like it. If we really believe that, then we would be doing our best to put it in us.
Amen.
Right. I went for 25 years. It doesn't mean I wasn't a good believer or anything like that. I went for 25 years and didn't have anything memorized. All it took was one person to challenge me and like throwing a match into stubble, poof, it just took off. And I hope to inspire you to do the same. We can go on forever, but we're limited on time. We got 6 minutes left. Don't worry, I'm always on time and under budget. How do you do it? How do you memorize scripture? Essentially, there's three different ways. Number one, memorize through reading. The keys are the following. Number one, to read aloud. To read aloud. Nobody reads aloud in the West. At home, when you're reading a novel, when you're reading the news, when you're reading a text, whatever, you never read aloud. In public, it's forbidden to read aloud. So we just live in a world where we're not conditioned to read aloud. But by reading it aloud, you have a tenfold better opportunity to try and retain what you're memorizing. You're speaking it, your mouth is shaping the words, it's going forth, and then it's coming back in there, and boom, back to there. Not only reading it aloud, but the power of format. I've had the same Bible over 30 years. I purchased it half a dozen times because it gets lost or tattered, but that is key to knowing where things are at on the page. You get what I'm picking up, what I'm putting down, right? Oh, I know where John 3 is on the page, and I know where Revelation 12 is on the page, and where Jonah is. That is huge. So the Jews, when I would go in Israel, I would go to the yeshivas where the seminaries are and be nosy and poke around and whatever, you know. Because I heard tale of this group of Jews called the Shas Palak, and they have the Talmud, which is an Encyclopedia Britannica-sized collection of how to live a good kosher Jewish life, the oral law, and that's their bread and butter. There are some of these guys, I mean, obviously they need to get a life because they could take out of a tractate, a volume, open it up to page 58a. They did studies on this. Psychologists put a pin through 58a, and without looking, they'll tell you what word and letter it went through on 58b. Now, obviously, like I said, they need to get a life, okay? But the point is of the power of format. Don't go switching Bibles on your kids 10 times. Just pick one, and that's that. Number two, memorization through hearing. Through hearing. Originally, keyword, originally, the word of God is meant more for the ears than the eyes. God did not write to Moses. God spoke to Moses. How many times does it say it? And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, dot, 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 dot. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Oh, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. 1 Thessalonians 5, I charge you, that's very strong language, charge you by the Lord that this epistle, 1 Thessalonians, be read aloud unto all the holy brethren. When's the last time you heard 1 Thessalonians read aloud? It's a charge. We don't hear it. But when you're in the car, friends, when you're going to and fro from work, redeem the time in the car and just listen to a chapter over and over and over again. I have a friend who lives in Indiana who drives Fort Wayne to Muncie back and forth every day. He would listen to a chapter of Romans at a time, and he memorized it. It took a year and a half, but he memorized the whole book while sitting in the car. I want Roy in prison with me, okay? Because he knows Romans. Sure, we can all talk about it, which is important. But what's more important is not only to talk about it, but to own it. And that man owns it. I want him with me. He could feed me. But to hear it, just hear it. Do not doubt me. If you have little ones like we do, when they go to bed, it's in the power of your hand to press play. Get an audio Bible. When the kids go to bed, just press play. They'll memorize it. Do not doubt me. You'll have tremendous fodder and things to talk about at breakfast time tomorrow, you know? And if you want them to go to sleep fast, just put on First Chronicles, right? Third and finally, memorize by writing it out. That's how I happen to do it, by writing out each verse. Our Bibles are printed in such a way. where it's not easy on the eye. Our Bibles are printed where it's not conducive to help you memorize. So write out each verse, put it in stanza form, line up the ands, the buts, the ifs, the conjunctions, and say it when you write it over and over and over and over and over and over again. It takes me, and I have a life, as everyone knows, it takes me an hour a day, every day, for a month, maybe to do a half a chapter or a chapter. It's crazy hard. But the blessings, the benefits, the dividends that come from you and your kids and your grandkids hiding the very word of the living God in your hearts, the benefits are innumerable. Amen. I told you I'd be done on time. Real quick, as you exit to the left, there's a table. We've got some good resources there, some great